ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Oh, that'll be 50. 50 number three for Fraser McGurk. And he equals his fastest 50, which was also a 15 bowler.
That's the most exciting cricketer in the Australian scene right now. 22-year-old Jake Fraser McGurk has been obliterating attacks in the Indian Premier League. So how is it he might be left out for Australia's T20 World Cup bid? Today we're looking at what the IPL might be telling us about the next big trophy up for grabs in men's cricket. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Sam Perry is a cricket writer and podcaster. He is one half of the Great Cricketer podcast and has spent a lot of time staying up to watch the IPL, so you don't have to. He's going to help us understand what that tournament might be telling us about the impending World Cup. Sam, always weird to think there's this sensational tournament happening that Australians just can't or won't engage with. For those of us who have not quite caught it, how impressive has Jake Fraser McGurk been in the 2024 IPL?
Oh, he's been incredibly impressive, mate. He was picked up by the Delhi Capitals very, very late as a replacement player for the South African quick Lungi Ngidi. I presume Ricky Ponting had something to do with that. He's the coach at Delhi. Coming in as a replacement player, he wasn't expected to play too much at all, but Delhi struggled a lot early in the tournament. He came in quickly and he hasn't looked back. He's made 250 runs at about 45. His strike rate has been most impressive, going at 237. Or something like that. He's made three half centuries. One was an 84-run innings from 27 deliveries. Two of his half centuries have come from 15 balls. The striking has been extraordinary.
He is some talent. He is an entertainer. And he's only just beginning.
They've actually got statistics to show that he literally does try and hit most of his deliveries for four or six. So it's the kind of hitting that feels very next generation. It feels very futuristic. It's incredible to watch. And, you know, a lot of people around the world think Australia has a new sensation on its hands.
So you've got 220 of your 247 runs of boundaries. So you're not somebody looking for quick ones and twos, right?
No, not at all. If I get ones or twos, then it's probably the last ball of the over or I mishit it.
And the obvious question is whether we will be seeing that sensation as part of Australia's setup for the T20 World Cup in June. We don't know that side yet, but reports from News Corp suggest he might miss out if he was to be overlooked. What would be the thinking around that decision?
Yeah, I've seen those reports as well. They seem fairly reliable. I mean, I'm hesitant to go with the premise given they haven't actually announced a side yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they took him as a reserve or a replacement at some point. But yeah, if you do take that on board, there are some good reasons as to why you wouldn't take him. You know, his numbers at the IPL are irresistible by any measure, but they come amid a backdrop of some rule changes in the IPL that have given rise to a general breaking of records in terms of team scores and strike rates. So the IPL last year introduced this new rule, which isn't seen around any other tournament, called the impact sub. I think the BBL might have trialled it as well, where you can replace a member of your starting 11 with a substitute at any point in the match. Now, just to boil that down, what it really means is that each team carries an extra batter, an extra bowler per game, and it means that run scoring has gone through the roof, so that the top four highest team scores in IPL history have been recorded this tournament. And selectors may not take Fraser McGurk because they are ultimately deciding that IPL conditions and World Cup conditions are going to be markedly different. You know, in the IPL, 220 off 20 overs isn't safe, but the selectors are banking on the idea that the World Cup in the Caribbean, which is where Australia will play, will be low, slow, spinning wickets. Australia will face lots of, you know, left-arm orthodox, gnarly, wily opening bowlers, like not the type that Fraser McGurk is depositing over the fence in the first six overs of a power play.
Slow on, and it's Bumrah who's been greeted with a six.
1-0. Fraser McGurk.
There'll be no impact sub. It'll be 11 versus 11. So the selectors are going to try and pick a squad that can spread out the balance of skills across the team. So where that falls down for Fraser McGurk is that he's a specialist. He's a top-order specialist bat. He doesn't bowl. He doesn't wicket-keep, as good as that would be. And Australia probably feels that with Head, Warner and Marsh at the top of the order and then through the middle order and the replacements, the reserves, in Stoinis, Wade, Inglis and Green, they probably have ample top-order cover anyway, while a lot of those aforementioned names can also bowl or wicket-keep. So I realise that's a very X's and O's answer, but I think that is the thinking sitting behind these reports that we're seeing.
No, it's helpful context. Can you speak to us about the ethos of those selectors over the journey? Because it seems they've always been loath to cut tried and tested names. Does this sort of play into the idea that you stick with your proven performers?
Look, I think so. I think there's a really interesting interview on an ESPN podcast the other day. I shouldn't be talking up other podcasts. I'm sorry, Patrick, where they interviewed Glenn Maxwell, and he's been a huge kind of sponsor and endorser of Fraser McGurk. And they asked him what they thought about his potential inclusion. He said, look, while he'd like to see it, a lot of guys have been working very hard and have kind of consolidated their position in the side.
I'd love to see him there because I feel like I've invested a bit of time in him. We're close mates. He's such a good talent. He's such an exciting player to watch. But also the Australian team is an incredibly hard side to get into. And there's guys that have put in a lot of work over the last few years and got themselves to a position where they're in that squad.
I suppose what sits underneath that or what underpins that is that the Australian white ball setup has had success recently. They've won the ODI World Cup. Granted, it's a different format, but I do think that the selectors invest a lot of currency in the cohesion and spirit of that side, and they want to reward that side, the large majority of whom play T20 cricket as well, with, you know, continued selection. I think they also put a lot of currency in the quality of Australian sides at tournaments, and judging by the sentiment of fans from other nations, although Australia's form in T20 World Cups hasn't necessarily been excellent or across different series, fans expect Australia to turn up to World Cups, grow a leg and manage to get the job done. So I think for that reason, selectors are loath to part with the nucleus of the side that most recently won in India, albeit in the 50-over format. I think they feel that the T20 side has done quite well over the last couple of years in various series, and they like the balance and the setup generally. I think they still might take Fraser McGurk. You know, they might take him as a 16th travelling reserve. He's shown that, you know, if something goes wrong in a team, like it has with Delhi, you can bring him in. He's kind of like the break glass in case of emergency player. So there might still be a spot for him. But ultimately, I think the selectors are really happy with the squad they've got, and they want to reward their recent success.
I'll tell you what, he's special. Being one of the big finds of the Tata IPL 2024. That's a 59-metre boundary for him. He's got everyone excited.
If we dive into some of those past performers and how they're faring in the IPL, who's raised cause for concern and who's underlined that they're far from being a spent force?
Yeah, it depends how you view these things. You know, some of the guys have been really struggling, so people then conclude that they're saving their best performances for the World Cup, which is probably true in a lot of ways. I mean, the most heralded one is Mitch Stark. He's the most expensive IPL player ever after fetching something like $4 or $5 million at the last auction, but he's been hit to all parts.
He's connected. It's gone over third man. It is another six. It is another six over third man. One of the greats of the game is being taken.
In the IPL so far, I think he's had one game where he's taken three for and done fairly well, but otherwise he's just gone the distance. But that's the nature of Mitch Stark, you know. You'd still back him with the ball at the top of his mark in a big game. David Warner has missed the last couple of games due to injury. His form's been middling. Travis Head, on the other hand, has been exceptional. He's one of the top run scorers at the highest strike rate for Sunrisers Hyderabad.
Oh, hit into the gap, and that's four. So 100 for Travis Head. Oh, what a special innings this has been. Just off 39 deliveries. You beauty.
He went to town in Ahmedabad against India a couple of months ago, and he loves batting in India.
Pat Cummins is captain at Sunrisers Hyderabad, and a lot of people have felt that T20 has been his weakest format, which I think is probably fair to say. Says more about how well he's gone in other formats as well, but he's done really, really well so far this IPL. He's bowling. His economy rate is among the lowest. He's taken lots of wickets. He's probably second to Jasprit Bumrah in terms of his effectiveness at this tournament.
I think now's his time. Break this partnership. Get the Kartik out.
Chops it on, brings himself on, and there is a chop on.
Mitch Marsh is home with injury. Glenn Maxwell dropped himself from the RCB side, who languishes at the bottom of the table, but he's recently back. Cameron Green's played for RCB and been middling, as has Tim David. Tim David's made a few good scores for Mumbai Indians, but I wouldn't say he or the franchise has set the world alight. So I think by and large, the Australians have probably been middling to underperforming in the IPL, with a couple of exceptions like Fraser McGurk, Travis Head and Pat Cummins. But I would take a lot of that with a grain of salt as well. So many of these players have been playing almost non-stop for the last 18 months. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a little bit fatigued as a result of that. And I'm not sure how much the form lines will actually translate into the T20 World Cup.
One player not involved in the Indian Premier League is Steve Smith. Questions abound about whether he'll be part of this T20 World Cup. Now, if he misses out, what does that say to you about where he's at from a career arc perspective?
Well, I don't think it would surprise a lot of people if he misses out on the side. I don't know Steve personally too well. I'd imagine it would still be a blow because he's a competitive animal who probably wants to make every side he makes himself available for. But the reality is that he's into his mid-30s. I'd say his peak years are behind him. T20 format has always been probably the lowest priority for him. And success for him, not that it's for me to define, would be to open the batting for Australia against India this summer in the Test Series and getting somewhere back to his best and most effective. It is true that there have been some strange whispers around his retirement for around a year or two now from some odd places. So there does seem to be an air of interest around whether or for how long his career will remain. But I'd imagine it will just come down to his success this summer in the Border Gavaskar Trophy, where he's going to have a fairly stiff challenge facing Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Shami and Mohammad Siraj, all with the new ball on fresh Australian wickets.
Sam Perry, thanks for taking us through it. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Patrick. Great to be here.
Headlines. At time of publish, Jason Demetriou is still the coach of South Sydney. The club met to discuss his position Tuesday morning but could not reach a resolution. He's been under extreme pressure with the bunny season lurching from bad to worse. The board is meeting again after 5 p.m. with the coach still very much in the firing line. Rugby Australia says it's ready to reset after posting a $9.2 million loss for 2023. In golf, who do you think is Australia's top-ranked player? Cam Smith, Minwoo Lee, Minji Lee. They'll need to all move over, with Hannah Green's recent LPGA Tour victory leaving her the highest-ranked Aussie golfer in the world. The West Aussie is into eighth after winning the LA Championship. And Cricket Australia has announced a new plan to grow female cricket. The 10-year plan includes a $500 million investment into infrastructure, a plan to build grassroots participation and grow attendance to women's games. The headline is perhaps the average salary for female players. Those playing WBBL, state and domestic, will be looking at an average wage of about $160,000 a year. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to Fox Sports and ESPN for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.